You're listening to Marketplace Weekend. I'm Molly Wood. Earlier in the show, we talked about how individuals are changing the floral industry. Now we're going to look at the power that individuals and groups of individuals have in all types of businesses. In this case, I'm talking about the fans. Back in 2011, a group of Polaroid fans got upset when the company stopped making instant film. So they set out to create their own. They called it Impossible Film, and their endeavor was known as the Impossible Project. And it wasn't impossible, but it was hard. The project asked people who love instant photography to test out really terrible film and give their input, and ultimately help create better instant film. That is the power of the fan. And the Impossible Project is one of many such stories told in a new book called Super Fandom by Zoe Fraud Blanar and Aaron M. Glazer. Lizzie sat down with Zoe to discuss the book, and Zoe explained what exactly a fan is and how it's actually very different than being a consumer.
We used to think that fans were people who just liked something a lot. And we now know that's not the case. Being a fan is active. It requires participating in a set of activities that show that you're more than just someone who likes something. So if I like Tide with Bleach and I use it all the time, then that's great and I'm a loyal consumer. But if I start going onto message boards and telling people about it and perhaps writing them letters and advocating for them to change the color, now I'm starting to get into the area of fandom. Being a fan is active. It's a verb.
You know, you say in this book that fans are not consumers, and yet this seems so inextricably linked to capitalism. I mean, we're talking in many cases about products.
Fandom is at heart a form of marketing, which is, it's kind of a dystopian way of thinking about this thing, which is so personal to so many people. But if we want to break it down to its core commercial purpose, it is this externally generated branding. It's a form of marketing that doesn't change the fact that it's a very important and personal thing that it's doing for people. It's doing very valid cultural work, and that doesn't in any way invalidate how people feel about it.
I mean, I guess we see that in sort of the growth of, say, Comic-Con, but then how major movie studios, you know, also bring their stars to Comic-Con, that it's sort of, I mean, is it co-opting fandom in that way?
It is. Fans are smart. Fans can usually tell when they're being used. There's a general concept in non-fans that fans can't possibly understand that they're being used. No, fans understand. Fans choose to overlook the commercial implications of what they're doing as long as it still suits their needs. You can definitely believe that the second that they're not getting what they want out of their loyalty, they certainly won't do it anymore.
Yeah, that brings us to this sort of idea of when fans are displeased. Tell me about what happened with Maker's Mark.
Ah, Maker's Mark. Maker's Mark Bourbon. They had a business imperative where they needed to step up production quickly. That's a problem for Maker's Mark because it does take 6 years, or at least 6 years, for them to age their bourbon enough for it to be ready for market. So they made the decision that they were going to water it down just very slightly. This wouldn't change the taste because having a higher alcohol content actually dulls the taste buds. And taking a page from standard social media practices, they said, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to tell the fans. We're going to be as transparent as possible. And by being transparent, we'll be able to get buy-in. It didn't work out that way. They told
the fans. No, it did not.
The fans lost it. They were extremely unhappy about this. Fans are conservative. They stifle change. They don't like anything that might change the meaning of that relationship that they have with the fan object. That's not to say that fan input isn't useful. It is. It's wonderful. But fans want more of the same. They don't want to risk this thing that they love so much in any kind of change, even change that's necessary to the survival of this thing that they love, is very, very scary. And in this case, the fans of Maker Mark, they wrote hate mail, they disrupted events, they certainly flooded all the social media channels. In fact, to the point where a week later, the following Sunday, Maker's Mark did, in fact, roll back its change.
Which is, it's just amazing to me to think this, you know, major company said, we're sorry. I mean, I'm actually looking at, you know, what they wrote, which is, we're sincerely sorry we let you down.
Yeah, this is very interesting. If you actually look at the social media buzz, it had peaked the previous Tuesday. So there is a question now, did Maker's Mark do the right thing? We may never know, but it's certainly true that studies have now found that small groups of very angry people on the internet can seem like a much bigger presence than they actually are. So this is called the majority illusion. It's a small group of extremists can very quickly and easily skew the conversation. It's very possible that this anger and outrage over the alcohol content of Maker's Mark was actually only held by a very small group of fans.
Well, so then how should businesses think about their fans, their super fans? Because on the one hand, it seems like they're, you know, the people who are going to buy the Star Wars tickets on presale. But on the other hand, if they can, you know, torpedo a brand's business plan, that's a real risk.
Fan concerns, they need to be taken seriously. They should not be taken literally. When fans are rebelling, when there's an uprising like this, it needs to be taken as a sign of fear. The fans want to be reassured that their emotional investment is still safe, that you still care about them, that you hear them, that you're not ignoring them. It's very important not to necessarily do exactly what they need, though, because fans don't necessarily know what's best for the product. They certainly know what's best for the audience. And they may know that fan object better than the owners itself do, but they can't run a business. And that's an important distinction to make.
Zoe Fraud-Blanar is the co-author with Aaron Glazer of Super Fandom. Thank you so much.
Thank you.